You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the FWA podcast here with William Hill. Good to have you with us. Each and every week we get one of the best football writers in the land to preview the live action for the upcoming weekend, and this weekend no different. It's a Darren Lewis from the Daily Mirror there, football writer, who's on the line right now to preview these games. First of all, good afternoon and warm welcome to you, Darren.
Thank you very much indeed. Thanks for having me on the show.
Big midweek of action we've seen, Darren. The Champions League, I thought, was superb. The game at the Etihad, Manchester City versus Barcelona, obviously the standout. And City was superb, Darren.
They were indeed. They really came of age in the competition. And they got pretty much what they paid for from Pep Guardiola, because even allowing for the fact that Barcelona had injuries, they still had that superb front three of Neymar, Messi and Suarez. And yet City went toe-to-toe with them, should have scored more goals. And for me, I think they were full value for that 3-1 victory.
The latest odds for the Champions League here with William Hill. Barcelona still are favourites in the market, 11-4. Bayern Munich, 7-2. Real Madrid, 5-1. Atletico Madrid and Man City, both 10-1, 11-1 and bigger the rest. Arsenal, 20-1 after their comeback win against Ludogorets. Are we in danger of reading too much into that result at the Etihad, do you think, Darren? Or do you think it's a changing of the guard now?
I don't think it's a changing of the guard quite yet, because Barcelona still do have superb attacking options. What they don't have is Iniesta, because he's injured, will be for a couple of months at least. They also have a couple of other players injured as well, as I mentioned before. So in the context of Barcelona's season, they could have some big players back towards the stage of the campaign where before the knockout stage. But I think as far as City are concerned, certainly they look good value to go quite deep into the competition. Arsenal do look a big price for me.
Yeah.
And I think for, a lot of people will say historically in the Champions League, they've just not done it. They haven't been to the final, I think, since 2006, if I'm not mistaken. And I think as far as they are concerned, they look to have a very good squad this year. And I would not be surprised if they were to really go quite far and give people who lumped on a run for their money.
They are 20-1, Arsenal, to win the Champions League. And I suppose the success Arsenal have had this season so far revolves around Alexis Sanchez, doesn't it? He's been their talisman, their instigator, playing in that number nine role throughout the course of the season. We'll talk more about Arsenal very shortly, but his impact cannot be understated this season.
No, it can't be. And I think as far as he is concerned, it isn't so much the fact that he does score goals. It's the fact that he's a leader. He handles pressure so well. He can produce goals out of nothing. He is someone who inspires the team. He's been directly involved in 8 goals in his past 8 Premier League appearances. That's 5 goals, 3 assists. And he has become Arsenal's best focal point. I know that Giroud's numbers are pretty good, but Giroud now looks to be a plan B, and he very much proved to be as much at Sunderland when they threatened maybe to frustrate Arsenal. But I think in terms of the main man, you're looking at Sanchez to basically do the business for Arsenal, and I expect him to lead the line for them against Spurs on Sunday.
Let's get stuck into the weekend then, Darren. We'll preview all 4 televised games in the Premier League. And we start Saturday at tea time, 5:30 kickoff, Chelsea versus Everton. And at Chelsea, odds on 11-20 here with William Hill to win the match. The draw is 3-1 with Everton in the market at 5-1. Chelsea's recent record against Everton is superb. At home in particular, they're actually unbeaten in their last 21 home Premier League games against Everton. And they're now on that roll in the league as well, Darren. They've won the last 4 games to nil. To what do you attribute that turnaround in form? Antonio Conte not being there long, but he seems to have the recipe for success already.
Yes, he's changed the system. He has David Luiz looking as though he is a proper centre-half. There is more solidity about the Chelsea defence. You talk about those four wins. They were all with clean sheets. They know where the goal is up front. Diego Costa really in fantastic form. Eden Hazard playing finally this season. Just basically didn't get going last season. And I think as far as Chelsea are concerned, Conte has players who are committed to playing for him. They are a team, let's not kid ourselves, who are prone to... They're a very emotional team, if you like. They fell out of love with Jose Mourinho. But Chelsea were very clear about the fact that he had to go because the relationship between Mourinho and his players had broken down irreparably. Conte's repaired that. He's gone in there. He's asserted his authority. But there was a little hug that he gave Costa after the win at Everton, and it kind of showed the relationship that he has with the players. I mean, being a player himself, he's very much tapped into their mentality, and I think after a couple of blips, I mean, I was at the game where they were beaten 3-0 by Arsenal. I was also at the home game where they were beaten by Liverpool, who were sensational on that day. But since then, they've recalibrated and they have been fantastic. Four wins from their last five. I'd expect that run to continue, even though they are up against former player Lukaku this weekend. I expect Chelsea to continue that run.
Romelu Lukaku, by the way, 7-1 to score first here with William Hill. Do you think freeing Eden Hazard has been a huge positive this season? Because you mentioned his frustration under Jose Mourinho last season. He's not a man that likes tracking back, is he, Darren? Yeah. Eden Hazard? And it seems the formation they're playing now, it allows him to just focus on what he wants to do, and that's attack.
That's right. They've got Marcus Alonso at left wing back. Victor Moses on the right side, a real revelation. Couldn't get anywhere near the side under Jose Mourinho, but Antonio Conte's brought him into the fold. But yes, the shackles appear to have been taken off Eden Hazard. He has always said that he wants to be able to play in a freer role. And I think when he focuses solely on attack, he can do the business. Did really well last weekend at Southampton. And I expect his run to continue. I do. You mentioned Lukaku a second ago. I do still think they do need to worry about Lukaku. 10 goals in all competitions from his last 12 games, including four from his last five. And he'll be motivated up against his former club, who tried to sign him during the summer. But Diego Costa is in fantastic form too, and I think he's a leading Premier League goal scorer at the moment, and I expect him to be the one who makes a difference in this match. 8 goals so far this season for him, and I think in the shootout of the strikers, in the battle of the strikers, I expect him to come out on top.
Diego Costa is 17-20 to score any time. Lukaku in the market at 2-1. Have you got a correct score?
Who would you take out of the two of them?
You know what? I would be with Diego Costa in this matchup, but I think Lukaku is playing with such confidence, and it's his physical strength. Whether or not he can dominate David Luiz this weekend is, I think, questionable now that Chelsea seem to have their rear guard sorted. But I think Lukaku, 2-1 is a big price, isn't it, for him to score any time, and you just take the result out of that completely.
Yeah, I mean, one goal between them. In the standings, Costa on 8, Lukaku on 7.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about Everton, you know, is that in his post-match interview last weekend, Ronald Koeman said that he had to say to the players at half-time to relax. He kind of felt that they were nervy and that they lacked a bit of confidence in going about their business. And I wonder if they start in a similar fashion at Chelsea, the game might be beyond them, because Costa is in fantastic form. Hazard, as we've already said, is also bang at it at the moment. And I just take Chelsea to edge this. I think it'll probably be a 2-1 scoreline.
Do you think the expectations higher than ever at Everton, because they have so many outstanding players, and Yannick Bolasie and Romelu Lukaku have linked up so well in the early part of the season? And now that Roberto Martinez has gone and a coach of the calibre of Ronald Koeman is in there, do you think the fans are expectant now, and that maybe pressurises Everton?
Well, You know, at his former club, Southampton, Koeman had one of the best defensive records in the Premier League, but he kept having players taken away from him. That won't be the case at Everton, who already resisted an approach from Chelsea and a big bid from Chelsea for Lukaku. And I would imagine that they do have the finance to be able to withstand bids for all of their players. In terms of Bolasie, a huge signing for me, £28 million. I think even he would suggest that that is a lot of money to have paid for him. But he's supplied 4 goals so far this season for Lukaku, the best relationship between any two players in the Premier League. And I think as far as he's concerned, he will be tricky for Chelsea to deal with. I just think that there is a fragility still at the moment. West Ham did create chances last weekend, they just couldn't take them. And I expect Chelsea, with their razor-sharp forward line at the moment, to take them.
OK, let's move on. Let's talk about the North London derby, Arsenal versus Spurs, Sunday midday, this one. Arsenal, slight odds on, 19-20 here with William Hill to win this match. The draw, 13-5 with Tottenham in the betting, 11-4. Darren, I think if we'd been previewing this game 6 weeks ago, say, these odds would have been framed slightly differently. It comes at a bad time for Spurs, where even though they're still unbeaten in the league, they've gone 6 games without winning. And Arsenal haven't been beaten since the opening day when Liverpool beat them 4-3. There seems to be more momentum with Arsenal at the moment. This fixture's got a very different look to it now.
It does indeed. Arsenal, you would imagine, are the overwhelming favourites for this match. As you say, undefeated since losing at home to Liverpool on the opening day of the season. Only 3 draws in their sequence since then. And they've got goals all over their front 6. Ozil with a sensational goal in midweek. Sanchez, we've talked about him already. Oxlade-Chamberlain, Theo Walcott, they are Granit Xhaka. They are a side who know where the goal is. But the difference now with Arsenal is that they are also a squad of great quality. Giroud came off the bench to score twice the other day. I think as far as Arsene Wenger is concerned, he does have an embarrassment of riches. He has kind of tried to temper the enthusiasm and the confidence among the Arsenal fans by saying, look, I've got 5 players who are struggling with injury, including Theo Walcott, Santi Cazorla as well. So let's not get ahead of ourselves. But you look at the recent run, Dave, and you just think to yourself, Arsenal have to be favourites going into this match. Spurs were absolutely abysmal in the game against Bayer Leverkusen in the Champions League in midweek, and they're trying to find the reason for that. They'll be delighted that this game is takes place at the Emirates rather than at Wembley because they just can't seem to perform there. I don't expect, however, Spurs to play as badly the Emirates as they did on Wednesday night. I expect a different Spurs, a better Spurs, to turn up there. I would imagine he will have switched the hairdryer on Maurizio Pochettino because he claimed he wasn't, but he was clearly fuming at the performance from his players in midweek. And I think as far as Spurs are concerned, as you say, winless in their last 6, the Champions League form very different to their Premier League form, where they remain undefeated. And I think they will go there. They will deny Arsenal the chance to play. I think that they will obviously introduce Harry Kane. It looks as though they're going to maybe bring him on late in the game rather than start the game. That's a big game to start a player that's come back after a couple of months out with injury. But I think as far as the game is concerned, you know, a lot of people think Arsenal are going to sweep Spurs aside. I think it will be a draw. I think it will be very fiercely contested, but I think it will be a draw.
13-5, the draw. Even though Harry Kane wasn't scoring before he got injured, Darren, he's clearly key to this Spurs side because he's a focal point, isn't he? He's an outlet for Spurs, and they haven't produced as many goals from midfield, I think, as Pochettino was maybe expecting in Harry Kane's absence. So it will be a big fillip if he does come back into the team on Sunday afternoon.
It will indeed. He's got a good record against Arsenal. But and as you say, you know, I think it's only 3 goals in their last 6 games. 2 goals from their 4 Champions League games. Son Heung-min started off very well after Harry Kane was injured in the home game against Sunderland. He scored a couple at Middlesbrough. He went away from home in the Champions League and scored the winner against CSKA in Moscow, but he's gone right off the boil. To be fair, he was excellent in the win over Manchester City, but he hasn't managed to get himself on the score sheet in recent games, and that's seen their momentum just kind of slow down a bit. And so I would imagine that going into this match, they will be looking for a creativity, Christian Eriksen being very, very disappointing indeed, and also some cutting edge. They need to play in a way that gets the best out of Vincent Janssen, because at the moment that's not happening. But I think as far as Spurs are concerned, they will go to the Emirates to compete and they'll find a way to stop Arsenal doing what they do best.
I was going to ask you about Vincent Janssen. What have you made of him in terms of his own performance so far?
Well, it took him some time to get off the mark last season at AZ Alkmaar, and he still ended up with 30 goals. He's 21 years old. Some people making comparisons with Roberto Soldado, but he was a lot older when he came to Spurs and struggled. Vincent Janssen, he's got a long time to get better. I can name you several players. We all can, can't we? Players who have struggled in their first year in the Premier League and then being a lot better. And I think as far as Vincent Janssen is concerned, there is better to come from him. I wouldn't be as quick as some people are to write him off. He could yet prove to be a big asset as far as Spurs are concerned.
Let's talk about Liverpool next. Liverpool take on Watford. Sunday 2:15 kickoff this one. Liverpool are 2-7 to win the match. They draw 9-2 with Watford in the market at 9-1. Liverpool have been superb, playing great football at the moment, scoring freely. Not exactly watertight at the back, Darren, but they don't need to be, given that their star players are performing at the moment. Philippe Coutinho's been superb. Sadio Mane, Roberto Firmino worked so hard for the team as well. They've looked great, Liverpool, in the last 6 weeks of the season. Do you think this will be a cakewalk for Liverpool? They're heavy odds on 2-7 here with William Hill.
Yeah, Watford haven't been too bad so far this season after a very slow start under Walter Mazzarri. But Liverpool, they are just scoring for fun at the moment. Scored four or more goals in a Premier League game the other day for the 8th time in this calendar year. They've now scored more goals than any other Premier League team since Jurgen Klopp took over a year ago. And I don't see that as being any different at home to Watford. There's so much fluidity about their front six. There is so much cohesion in that team. Who would have thought, Dave, that we would be talking about the success of a team without Daniel Sturridge, such a superb finisher. But Liverpool are just outstanding in the way that they bamboozle teams. And for me, after a fifth win in six league games, I just think there is so much confidence about the club. I think Klopp generates a confidence within his players. The fans are confident and fully behind what he's trying to do. Can they keep up the momentum? And can they keep having... Listen, the problems with their defence are well documented. They've conceded more goals than any other team in the top six. Can they continue having to outscore the opposition to win the league? That will take some doing. I think they'll struggle as far as that's concerned. But, you know, I think Liverpool fans will enjoy the ride. And I think matches like this, you would expect them at home in front of their own fans with the momentum behind them. You'd expect them to win this one for sure.
It's kind of reminiscent to the opportunity they had to win the title a few years ago when Raheem Sterling and Luis Suarez and Daniel Sturridge were so... so inventive that season, and it was a similar way to Kevin Keegan's side played when he was in charge of Newcastle, where it was just that mentality of we will score more than you, and that's what Jurgen Klopp's brought to this side.
That's right, but the teams that tend to win titles are built on sound defences. I mean, you look at you mentioned Kevin Keegan's side, and ultimately they were disappointed. You look at Spurs under Ozzy Ardiles, you know, thrilling to watch going forward. They were fantastic, but ultimately they were disappointed, and you just kind of hope that... Well, Jurgen Klopp is a smart man. He will look to address the defensive deficiencies that people believe will undermine his side in the January transfer window, because Lovren still looks to be a little bit of a weak link. I think he may look to get another centre-half in, maybe another midfielder in as well. But certainly as far as Liverpool are concerned, they look a super side, and they look to be a side transformed from the last days of Brendan Rodgers, where he just seemed to have lost his way. He lost his momentum and lost the faith of the players and the fans. This is a very different Liverpool side, and I expect, well, they are already enjoying the ride. I expect that ride to last for quite some time.
What score do you think it will be against Watford, Darren?
I think it'll be 3-0.
3-0 to Liverpool is 7-1. Here with William Hill. And the weekend finishes with Leicester versus West Brom at the King Power, Sunday 4:30. Leicester 4-5 to win the match. The draw 12-5 with West Brom 15-4. A lot of the talk has been about Leicester not producing their Champions League form in the league this season. But you look at that home record, it's still sensational. The last time they lost to the King Power in the league was back when Arsenal beat them last September. So they keep maintaining that form at home in the league, but clearly the Champions League has been a distraction this season, a welcome distraction, Dan.
I was going to say they'll be delighted with that because it looks very much as though they are continuing the fairy tale on the European stage as opposed to the domestic stage last season. They're making more and more people sit up and take notice. Apparently, they are the first team in Champions League history to go unbeaten, sorry, to keep clean sheets in their first four games, which is quite some achievement. Yeah. I think as far as their Premier League form is concerned, they managed to get their first point away from home at Spurs the other day, but their home record is very good. And for that reason, you would expect them to beat West Brom on Sunday. I think as far as Claudio Ranieri is concerned, he invested in the squad during the summer. And it may well be the case that that combined with the fact that possibly the likes of Riyad Mahrez and Jamie Vardy, but they were still on the high from the title win, winning the Player of the Year awards. And just, I think during that period, it had taken them some time to come down. We had Vardy with his book. And, you know, there were a few games where Ranieri decided, you know what, I think I'm going to leave you out. I think I'm just going to try and see if I can regain the edge that you guys had last season to help us on the way to the title. But he's got other players that could step into the breach. Arben Musa, who played for CSKA in Moscow last season, he looks a super player, very quick, found his stride and is in amongst the goals at the moment. And Islam Slimani as well has come in and already has hit the ground running. So I think as far as Leicester are concerned, they do still have quality in that squad. They've obviously signed a lot of their key players to new contracts. They've lost N'Golo Kante, yes. And they've been very, very unfortunate to lose Nampalis Mendy, the player that they brought in as a replacement to injury. But when he comes back, they should be even stronger. I like the luck of Leicester to win at the weekend. And I think they should beat West Brom fairly easily.
Leicester to win the game is available at 4-5. And are we looking something on the handicap market then? Maybe Leicester -1 in this game, Darren?
I'd say you'll have to explain that one to me because I'm not so good at handicap.
I do apologise. Leicester -1 basically is Leicester to win by 2 or more goals in the game. So you, whatever the full-time result is there, you take one off Leicester. And if they're still winning, your bet would be a winner, Darren.
Okay. Well, I can see that being the case. Yeah. I mean, Leicester have goals in that side. And I think they are gradually, they've conceded 2 goals, I think, in their last 7 games. And so they have that solidity at the back that they lacked during the first couple of months of the season. I think as far as their home record is concerned, you've spoken all about how strong they are there. And I just think West Brom under Tony Pulis, they were beaten last weekend 4-0 at home to Manchester City. Confidence right now isn't particularly high. They've won only twice all season in all competitions. And yes, he may have had the new contract, Tony Pulis, but the fans aren't particularly enamoured. I was at Bournemouth where they turned on him and basically said they'd had enough. And I just wonder, you know, at Leicester, if Leicester were to get off to a good start, whether the fans will start giving him a bit of grief again. I'm not confident about West Brom's chances at Leicester. I think Leicester will win this at least by 2-0.
At Leicester -1 is available at 21-10, and if you're looking for Leicester to win the game 2-0, that's available at 7-1. Darren, thank you for your company on the podcast.
No, thank you very much indeed for having me on.
You can follow Darren on Twitter at @MirrorDarren, and you can follow myself at @DKellner. Make sure you check out all William Hill's podcasts at audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. You can subscribe via iTunes as well. Again, type in William Hill. And if you're having a bet on the Premier League this weekend, good luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.